Blog Talk Radio.
My brothers and sisters, shalom. We are back. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, we're back. Back again for another blessed episode. Another blessed episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edemia, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful indeed to the Most High for the opportunity to be back with you here again. Speak these very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. For the Most High has told me, yes indeed He has told me, that I have him some very important things for him, for his cause that I must do. And he told me because of what I must do, he said that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I indeed am utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, directly has he told me, that I must tell you things, that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. Again, my brothers and sisters, I welcome you to the show. I thank the Most High for every ear, that he brings near. Well, my brothers and sisters, I'm just thinking back now tonight, of course, the last week or so, more. Looking at the measure, the subject matter we've discussed over the last week. And it's evident that looking at this particular subject matter, there's another dimension of realization that the time has come to discern with much greater clarity. On last evening, I can only tell you that I was looking at quite a few ideas, some of them so integral in terms of, let's just say, involved, implicative, that I found it somewhat, in the midst of it all, difficult to relate as much as needed to be related in such little time. Well, I can only tell you that I guess it's just my nature. I really try hard, and I heavily prefer to accomplish what I set out to do. There is such magnificent implication, and so many things the Most High has said. And the scriptures tell us well that everything that a prophet says is not necessarily contained in his own book, because all the prophets spoke by the spirit of Messiah that was in them. Talking about 1 Peter 1:10 through 11. That being the case, there's a reason why the scriptures at Romans 14 going into the 15th chapter finally says such words as this: all things written of old for our learning, that we through patience and faith in the scriptures might have hope. Isaiah 28 speaks about Messiah's words in the latter days, speaking to a world. His words being line upon line, precept upon precept, not everyone, scriptures say, is prepared or will be prepared to accept, if you will, the height, depth, and breadth and gamut of his word. There's reason why in 2 Peter, Scripture talks about being very diligent. Commands, in fact, people of God to be very diligent. That we all should discern the nature of his will as one. The very command that's called the Shema, the Messiah declared as the utmost command of all. Ultimately, that his people be one, that he be rightly represented in the earth. declares ultimately that we all must seek the Most High, love him. And you don't have to get somebody to, you have to force somebody to seek or seek to please someone he loves. The scripture says we must love him with all our minds, heart, soul, and might. How should we say we love him if all we know is our own will? He said this we must do, even that we love our neighbor as ourselves. The Shema is a command, my brothers and sisters. It's not one related individualistically. There's a command, my brothers and sisters, that was related to a people. But they all might be the best possible example to one another under the perpetuity of the knowledge of divine conscience in the world. And yes, my brothers and sisters, that everyone be the best example he can be toward the knowledge of divine will and righteousness in this earth. If you look around, though, my brothers and sisters, you see something quite stunning. Many call themselves believers, trusting. They say in the same Most High. But competitive, my brothers and sisters, rather than truly loving. Conflicting, rather than agreeing. Prideful, so often rather than humble. Partial in perception, rather than seeking fullness. But brothers and sisters, who is it that has compelled men to be so prideful after their own self-righteousness, or prideful after the allegiances of this world, the diverse allegiances of this world, so much that men forgot what Messiah commanded to all his people? We all should be seeking the fullness of all that is divine truth for the blessing of one another. But what we see, my brothers and sisters, instead of that, is institutions that will compel men to believe that the Most High somehow doesn't intend peace and order on this earth. Yes, you heard me. As if to compel men to believe the Most High does not desire peace and order in this earth. As if the universe was created to somehow sustain misorder. As if the universe was created somehow to champion the cause of those who uphold unrighteousness, that men might be exploited. But brothers and sisters, nothing is farther from the truth. We read closely amidst the scriptures. We find, for instance, that Isaiah, 45th chapter, scriptures that tell us the Most High did not create this world in vain. But he created it, my brothers and sisters, that his habitation, that his people, those created the habitation of his spirit, might dwell in it. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Read with me, if you would, Isaiah 45 and 17. Israel shall be saved. How about made whole, made one, all true to one sense of righteousness? One sense of honor. One sense of what is peace. One agreement, one accord. In the Most High, true to all that the Most High has required of his people, with an everlasting salvation. Everlasting peace. Everlasting fullness. Everlasting righteousness. Everlasting holiness. So you should not be ashamed. In other words, should not be subject to any falling short standard, nor confounded, world without end. What is he talking about? The time in which he restores his people. Isaiah 59 speaks of it. He says, his covenant to his people in the day that he restores righteousness is this. This is his covenant with his people. He says, his words that he's put in our mouths. The words that he should put in our mouths. The righteousness of his understanding, the truth that he has given in the course of the ages by the mouth of his prophets, shall not depart, shall never again depart out of the mouths of our descendants, nor our descendants' descendants, henceforth even forever. Read it, my brothers and sisters, if you would. Isaiah 59, 20, 21. And notice that there shall not be no more confounding of his people, no more confusion of his people. No longer will his people be upon adverse foundations, confused, in bondage, false pride, false understanding, falsehood. No longer to be deceived by anyone who uphold a lesser standard than the fullness of a divine, what is divine righteousness. From henceforth, the world without end. 45:18. Thus said the Most High, that created the heavens. Oh, I can only tell you, I've said it to you before on this show. The word heavens there, the Most High, oftentimes the scriptures are talking about what is called first, second, and third heaven. First heaven, the word relates to even my brothers and sisters' terra firma. Sometimes the word, amazingly enough, there, my brothers and sisters, relates the desert, the wilderness. Relates this immediate, like I said, terra firma that is this earth. Sometimes it relates, my brothers and sisters, that which exists, the immediate firmament above this earth, where the fowls of the heavens dwell, even where exist the stars, the planets and stars. Sometimes that word for heaven there, my brothers and sisters, might not necessarily always relate to the rule of the Most High. Sometimes it relates to those who rule unjustly over this earth, who he says, in his greater authority he must overthrow, that men discern him as he is. And then, my brothers and sisters, there's the concept of what is called third heaven, where indeed he dwells. When he said he made the heavens, he said he made all things. He created the universe. And the scripture says, but thus says the Most High created all things, that all things being set in order true to him. Yah himself that formed the earth and made it, he is the one who established, how about according to his purpose? He created it not in vain. He had reason in all that he has said and done. He formed it to be inhabited. Even a habitation for him, his people. He is the Most High, and there is none else. In other words, get it, my brothers and sisters. When we said he is the Most High, that word there, ultimately, when they put down Lord in this case, means that all things were created according to his fullness of what is his purpose for these things. And blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who hearken to him, him who does not hide the knowledge of the truth from those who seek him with a whole heart. But the Most High has told me that any time man seeks to, let's just say, be derelict in terms of duty, seeking to be comforted in his lack of sense of responsibility and obligation unto the Holy Name, any time man is subject to any sense of so-called righteousness or rule, less than the fullness of what the Most High has intended, it only brings forth contention, strife, tribulation, false pride, false righteousness, separations and arguments among the people, and by very definition, sin, separation, by definition, damnation. The Most High desires of people in the earth who will cooperate as one with him. And I mean cooperate as one with him when you must consider that if we are all true, if we were all true to his righteousness, his plan, in allegiance to his purpose in the earth, all the contention, strife, exploitation of human souls that exist in the world, the deceptiveness, whereby men have felt somehow they had a right to exploit one another after misorder. It wouldn't exist. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, for a long time, it has been prophesied that in the latter days, these latter days, Most High would bring back his people from the midst of all the nations, meaning that it has been the diverse standards that have been taught among the nations that have been unto something far less than the purpose peace in the earth. The various rulerships we see in the earth, whereby men have sought to enslave the minds of men according to their standards rather than the fullness of what is divine purpose, has, my brothers and sisters, been a curse on this earth of mankind for many ages. There's a reason why the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with Yah, the Word was Yah. By him all things were made, and without him there were not anything that were made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. What it means, my brothers and sisters, is that the purpose the Most High had for all things from the very beginning, that is the righteousness, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High upholds. That is the righteousness that is the sense of purpose that declares, my brothers and sisters, what is worthy to exist. Have men been true to that initial ideal, my brothers and sisters? Are you sure, when you look around you, that man has been true to the initial purposes the Most High has intended? Think about it. I even think about things like the environment around us. I pray that you will hear me and understand. I can't even tell you how much I've seen change environmentally. On this little planet they call Earth, just in my own lifetime. Can't tell you how much I've seen the character communities change just in my own lifetime. Has man been true, my brothers and sisters, to the initial order the Most High has created? I see, if you think about it, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you what the Most High has told me upon the time when he first gave me his anointing. He told me way back then that before it's all said and done, he told me I would see some of the most insane things proclaimed to be called righteousness among those who call themselves rulers. He told me it was going to accelerate. I've seen it. Must mean, my brothers and sisters, the time is late. But though the time is late, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you the Most High told me in advance these things would occur, because there comes a time that he must reverse it all. It must become apparent to all, my brothers and sisters, the nature, the corruption that presently exists in this world, that he give it a sudden, very sudden, my brothers and sisters, addressing, if you will, to overturn it all and show, in fact, what is his way. And blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who anticipate that blessed day. I spoke on last evening about great revolution that's coming. I find it amazing that, truly I do, I find it amazing that with all, for instance, that happened in the first centuries of the dispensation, the gospel, there are so many that still have not discerned that what we have in the world today is a result of that, especially looking around that we see some, 45,000 denominations, 280 nations, all this and counting. And many have not realized that the perceptions of man have grown quite unstable. There's only one firm foundation. There wouldn't be all these differences of institution among men if men were solidly upon that one rock foundation. Most of told me if I can look at all these contradictions and believe that they all work as a result of his spirit and man being true to his spirit, he told me I couldn't be a disciple unto him. I would tell you, my brothers and sisters, men have looked at a multitude of contradictions in this world and have obliged them. It's not been because men have been his disciple, my brothers and sisters. But the gospel was go forth and teach all nations everything he declares, baptizing, converting the nations in the name, the authority, the honor, unto the honor even, if you will, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if the nations would have been converted all into that one standard, the world we live in, my brothers and sisters, would not be so awry. But we live in a world today, my brothers and sisters, for as much as men have ignored what must be the fullness of the pure, perfect righteousness of Yah that offers one choice, men have wanted to believe that they are still yet after them a multitude of differences, a multitude of partial standards, a multitude of sins. I said allegiance is to sin, to corrupt institutionality that is not true to the righteous of Yah, which is sin. One scripture says, shall a man sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth and be saved, if you will? Scripture says no. Look at Hebrews 10:26-31. Shall we continue in sin? How about after all of a multitude of a world's false allegiances? Shall we continue under these fallen standards and expect to be favored of the Most High? That is grace abound? It says, Yah forbid. There's an exceeding righteousness that must be attained. My brothers and sisters, well, like I said, there's a revolution coming. And the revolution that is to come is one that shall declare to mankind, in fact, what is the only, I hope you hear me, my brothers and sisters, righteous expression of what the Most High has desired under salvation, even since the world began. And it's very obvious, as I said before, my brothers and sisters, that man has not been true to that initial ideal. Or else all the unrest we see in the world would not have existed. Well, given this consideration, my brothers and sisters, there's a very important question that needs to be asked, especially since we live in so indiscriminate a world, that is proven that it does not know Yah. I said 45,000 denominations, everybody saying something different. That is not an example of knowledge, but a lack of it. My people are destroyed, confused. How about gullible under all kind of misallegiances for lack of knowledge? The question then must be asked, whose righteousness shall Yah uphold? I pray you will hear me. Whose righteousness shall Yah uphold when he at last shall establish a defender in the earth for the sanctity and to sanctify his people? My brothers and sisters, there is much, therefore, to be understood. I pray you will hear me. My brothers and sisters, there's much to be understood. You got all these different denominations, all these different institutions, political, social, and religious, all claiming to have a form of righteousness which the Most High will uphold. I've talked to him in the last few weeks about how the Most High has said that he leads his people in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, meaning that he will not by any means sanction or uphold or confirm any false standard that just simply seems wise after the designs of men. He said he will have to refine his people because he will not give his glory to another. Certainly not to a people who swear by his name, but not in truth nor in righteousness. We've been talking about that in Isaiah 48. So I would like to look at a bit of scripture because, like I said, a revolution is coming. And it's a revolution whereby in the time that he reveals his righteousness that, my brothers and sisters, all who have, so many who have been so negligent for so long, fatally flattered by those who tell them everything's all right. And it's, my brothers and sisters, oh so wrong. Men, my brothers and sisters, will learn to revere the Most High as he is. Did you hear me? I did not say as he is not. I did not say as men presume. We've talked about the scripture saying that he is a great I am that I am, not that he is not. He is all and everything that he is. If you don't know who and what all he is in terms of his expectation for that which would appease him, it means that man is automatically obligated to seek him. Scripture calls him the Lord whom ye seek. Him you should prepare for. Him you should seek that you might prepare for his righteousness restored. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, scriptures don't speak just merely of anticipating his appearing. But I want you to think about something. The scripture says the Lord whom you seek should suddenly come to his temple. He'll reprove all the leaders. In this case, some of the sons of Levi, your priests, kings, rabbis, whatever you want to call them. He said that may be restored in the earth an offering in righteousness, pleasing as in former years. How do you think that's going to occur? Scripture says, the isles shall wait for his law. Seek after his law. No longer presume his law. Realizing at last that to be presumptuous with regard to the will of the Most High is to be held quite guilty. The brother says nobody has a right to presume the will of the Most High. You seek his will. You seek answers from him. Don't seek to put words in his mouth according to what seems wise to your heart, lest you be counted a liar. You have to be very careful with something like this, my brothers and sisters, because the word of Yah is his thoughts. I did not say the thoughts of another. So a revolution is coming. A revolution wrought because of the revelation of his will. Scripture says, if we really understand it, and those of you who have listened to this show, know we talk about the idea that there was a great messianic move of the Most High 2,600 years ago, as there was one also 2,000 years ago. You talked about how prophets such as Malachi and Zechariah prophesy of one who was called Messiah before returning. And the scriptures actually say, my brothers and sisters, for instance, that Zechariah, the father of the one called Yohanan the Baptist, knew Yeshua to be that one who had come before. That present-day society does everything it can to ignore what the apostles said concerning Yeshua and what Yeshua said concerning himself in terms of being that one that they had expected of old before his birth to return. Well, I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. I want you to consider, my brothers and sisters, that what the prophecies ultimately say in Isaiah 49, and boy, if I start talking about all the places that Isaiah 49 is, ideas that are there bounced back at us over and over again throughout all the scriptures, I'll never get through just that if I start talking about just a couple of verses tonight. So I just want to just kind of hit on it, on the point. I just tell you there's a lot of this on my website, hiddengospel.com. Articles like Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation, articles like the Secret City Prophecies, articles like Tribulation 70-365 A.D., the Gospel of Shiloh, Remember the Promise, Woe to the Shepherds. So much information, my brothers and sisters, but I'm telling you now that it's all needed. Scripture says many will not be prepared to understand Messiah's message, because certainly his message is one that is cumulative across all the prophets, knowing far more than just simply what is said, but why it is said and how it all works together, how it's all interlinked and interwoven together. Well, as I said before, the revolution that is coming has to do with the world finally knowing what righteousness is in a whole world, suddenly in a time of great distress, realizing how long it has neglected the knowledge of the truth and how true it has been. That those that men call in this society rulers have been far from champions for the cause of those who would turn from transgression. Did you hear my brothers and sisters? Far from champions for the cause to defend those who would turn from transgression, but in so many ways, my brothers and sisters, I want you to think about it this way. Do you really expect a hired speaker hired to preside over a congregation to comfort the people in their own thoughts? Do you really expect to find there a champion for righteousness? I would like you to listen to some scripture that talks about, well, think about it. Psalms 14, Psalm 53. It talks about the idea the Most High looked upon the sons of men and saw none that does good, no, not one. Look to see if anyone who knew to seek Yah. I said to seek him. I said beyond all the standards of men, to seek him for the good of all. He said he saw none who understood that need. Therefore, none who does good, no, not one. He said, because of this, his people are devoured like bread by evildoers who would beguile and deceive the people to take a bribe. I hope you understand that. Isaiah 45, Aramaic makes it pretty clear. The scriptures talk about, my brothers and sisters, therefore the day comes in judgment that he will scatter the bones of hypocrites. Those who misrepresent him claim to be his servants. So the title, I think, to tonight's show is most appropriate. Whose righteousness shall Yah uphold, defend, and sanctify his people? In Isaiah 19:20, I want to go through this quickly, and then I want to get the scriptures a point. It says, they shall cry to the Most High because of the oppressors. Why? He talks about a city. And look at Isaiah 19:18. He talks about a city wherein the people have been confused. They swear by the name of the Most High, but after the language of the doctrines of Canaan, the heathen, after the ways of Egypt. So they swear by the name of the Most High. What's the Most High said? He's told his people. He is the Most High who leads his people out from, how about this, confusion of Egypt, Babylon, Moab, all those variant nations that would defy his people attaining the righteousness. He is the one, my brothers and sisters, the one Most High. You shall have no other but him. And the scriptures talk about, my brothers and sisters, because of all the confusion of the people after the taint, so much taint of the world. That's what it was, what it's talking about. He said they should cry the Most High because of the oppressors. Some shall realize there's a need to discern indeed what is righteousness. Some realizing they need to turn toward righteousness, discover just how far from viability present worldly status quo has been. For many generations, the scripture says he shall send them a Savior. King James says Savior. Holy Bible from ancient Eastern texts says a Savior and a Judge. The NASB translation, for instance, American Standard Version, they call it, says send them a champion. New International, for instance, I give you an example, says a defender, and he should deliver them. A defender for who, my brothers and sisters? Listen, Isaiah 59:19, and I'm looking at all these scriptures to give it all consideration. He says, yea, truth is hid. In other words, people don't need their discretion of what is the truth is hid. Hey, guess what? You got so many different rulers. How do you know which is which? So who's righteous will the Most High uphold to defend his people? And who among his people, I would even ask, should discern that righteous that they be his people? That his people, those who he would deliver, should discern beyond the wickedness that they have trusted. He said, he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. In other words, guess what? We live in a society so heavily compromised. When you're talking about an absolute sense of righteousness, they want to call it extremist. They want to call it fanatical. In fact, my brothers and sisters, they want to call it even hate. So a love for the perfect will of Yah, they call hate. It tells you something about the nature, the conscience of present society. It says, Yah saw it, and displeased him that there was no justice. Why? Like I said, he said those who would depart from the evil, would depart from the confusion, seek indeed what is righteousness. Hey, everybody sits back and gets this. The scripture talks about how we live in a society that so many, rather than applauding the sudden newfound awareness the Most High would give. My brothers and sisters says these ones are oppressed. I think about, what do they call this thing? The LGBTQ movement that is presently afoot in this country. And you sit back and say there's anything in scripture even that calls this an abomination. There are those who call you hateful. My brothers and sisters, I love the will of Yah. Most High told me a long time ago, anything anti-life is anti-Yah. And as so many of you know, it's been said over and over again, if you put a bunch of lesbians on an island, put a bunch of, you know, there's some words they use for males to do that, male homosexuals, you put them on another island, and they haven't got no chance of anybody getting together. Well, like I said, they'll die out. Most High created his people, my brothers and sisters, they might live. So I want you to consider what the Most High calls sin. And he said the wages of it is death. Again, anything anti-life is sin. So think about it. Anything that would seek to disease others against the plan of life is a curse. Against divine plan for life, it's a curse. It's separation from the mind of Yah. It's separation from his conscience. It's not true to what he has intended. It says, he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. Well, the scripture said those who would then seek, let's just say, peace with Yah, true to him fully. Think about it. If you walk out of one corruption into another form of corruption, it's still corruption. Yah is one. Yah is peace. Yah is holiness. Make an oath unto him, it's not unto part of his will, it's unto all. So we say he who departs from evil, evil is deviation from a perfect state of them who return toward what is perfect before Yah, as Abraham was commanded to do for blessing, even the blessing of the earth, is made a prey because the world despises such as this. Yah saw it, and he saw it, and it displeased him if there was no justice. No one to defend those who would seek after justice then. He saw that there was no man, one, there was no intercessor. Scripture says no one to help, no one to uphold. How about no one to uphold his righteousness? Therefore his arm, you know, you trust your arm, brought salvation unto him. One he calls likened to his own arm, his own strength, his wisdom. That which follows after his accord, his command, brought salvation, or let's just say oneness in the universe according to his name. Oneness in the earth according to his name, according to the holy name. and his righteousness, his love for all that his divine will and purpose is sustained. And one scripture says in Isaiah 46, he should perform all that his divine pleasure to overthrow this Babylon, this confusion, this incoherence, this lack of cooperation, this disorder that is in the earth. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, that is to say, guarding his heart against every deviation of fallen standard against the perfect will of Yah. Helmet of salvation upon his head, not to be confused or destabilized in any way after the misconceits of man. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, vengeance against all those who would stand against his people, awakening to the fullness of righteousness. And you might be shocked, my brothers and sisters. Many of those that he will cast vengeance upon are those who you may well have trusted with your very life. And that they have, as hired speakers, sought to comfort you and after standards far from the fullness of divine will. And Most High told me every lie, every partial standard, every pretense that men believe is an obstacle against men discerning the greater dimension of the truth that must be attained. I said it must be attained, that its people all be one. Purity and completion offers one choice. He put on righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation upon his head, garments of vengeance for clothing. And means, my brothers and sisters, the Most High is displeased. In fact, he calls cursed whoever will stand against his people, becoming one and of one accord on the perfect obedience and understanding of his will. Clad with zeal, zeal as a cloak. What does it mean? Clad with zeal, my brothers and sisters, righteous indignation for the cause of righteousness. Isaiah, how about 40:27-41:4 mirrors what is also said in Isaiah 59 here. It's also said in Isaiah 41, mirrors so much with the Revelation 19 when it says, for righteousness sake he would judge and make war. That means, my brothers and sisters, he will seek to silence every voice that has dissuaded his people against discerning what is indeed the righteousness of Yah, that his people might come of one accord. In fact, my brothers and sisters, so many that the Most High would redeem. The scriptures even said in Colossians, it says, Messiah gave his life that while men were once enemies, he gave his life. Ultimately, brothers and sisters, they come to seek his righteousness. To redeem men from those, my brothers and sisters, who both victimize and make men victimizers. Because, my brothers and sisters, I dare to tell you now, I don't see a single denomination or grouping on planet Earth now. I haven't seen one yet that I would say in all things has preached everything that I know is contained in these scriptures to redeem the people of Yah from those who keep you subject to a partial or perverse standard. I know that's a profound statement, but only speaking what I know. I couldn't do anything else, my brothers and sisters, and I know that might make for me a lot of people who would, let's just say, be quite angry or despise my words. But I say that you should test my words. Like I said, look at those articles on my website, hiddengospel.com. Look at those articles, my brothers and sisters, that I mentioned that you find in the chat. Secret City Prophecies, Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation, Tribulation 70-365 AD, Remember the Promise, Gospel of Shiloh. Check those things out and tell me whether or not your leaders have taught you all these things. And my brothers and sisters, they're written and reiterated throughout Scripture from one end of the book to the other. Why haven't they told you? Scripture said in advance to uphold their authority, they wouldn't. My brothers and sisters, I know that there's only one ultimate authority in the universe, and nobody has a right to deny him. So the Scriptures speak ultimately here of Messiah. In Isaiah 59, he said, according to their deeds. In other words, Most High considers an obstacle, even an adversary, anyone who would cause men not to be able to see or perceive or seek greater righteousness of Yah. Fury to his adversaries, fury to those who would keep his people enslaved. In fact, The scripture says those who depart from evil is made a prey. I want you to tell you something, my brothers and sisters. I want you to tell me. I want you to think about it. How often has it been in this society, do you think, that when the Most High sought to fill men with his spirit, to awaken them to the fullness of righteousness, that men have not had to confront those who would seek to dissuade them, who would seek to catch them in after allegiances to lesser institutionality, that they do not, that men do not discern beyond their iniquity, their inequity, their injustice, their sin against the forms of divine will. Many might say that they would not seek to be an obstacle to their brother against the attainment of salvation. But how do you know you're not doing that if you don't discern fully what pleases Yah, or if you haven't discerned fully what does not please Him? I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. He says, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay, 59:18, fear to his adversaries, fear to all those who would blind his people against discerning his righteousness, recompense to his enemies, because he already told you to seek the fullness of his righteousness, that you might not be found lacking, that you might convert. Oh, Acts 3:18-23, he said, repent, seek the fullness of his righteousness, return unto him, seek the fullness of his righteousness, even seeking to discern all those things which this for generations humanity has forgotten by the Spirit of Yah, that when the time of refreshing, restoration, restitution come for the blotting out of sins, you might convert. Some people, by implication, many in fact, it says two-thirds of humanity is going to perish in that day when righteousness is revealed, because many are so hard-hearted, many hadn't understood. It means, my brothers and sisters, in that day when the Most High sends Messiah to reveal the truth of what is all that is righteousness, is the Most High declared according to world purpose, his purpose for this world, since the world began, many won't convert. They will seek to uphold deception. Most High told me many of they who, for the sake of their own pride, would rather believe a deception and a deceiver than believe that they have been deceived. My brothers and sisters, the scripture says the whole world is going to have to recognize that fact. The Spirit of Yah is upon him, he said, to preach good tidings to the meek. Those who want to believe they are righteous according to their own opinions, not looking for one who will reveal a greater righteousness, well, it's going to fall by the wayside. It says, so, at the 19th verse, so shall they reveal the name of the Most High. How about they shall honor him, revere him, according to a very definite reference point. Revere him according to an absolute standard. Revere the name of the Most High from the west and honor him in the east and the rising of the sun. When the enemy should come in like a flood, in other words, whatever would stand as an obstacle against men discerning the righteousness of Yah should come in like a flood. The Spirit of Yah, a testimony from the Most High, a raising of conscience that the Most High shall grant to those who seek him, shall lift up a righteous, I hope you understand this, a righteous standard, a holy standard, against whoever it is, my brothers and sisters, will seek to keep his people blind. He says a Savior should come to Zion then, to those who would turn from transgression, and Yahweh said the Most High. Let's look back at this Isaiah 19. Scripture says Messiah will be sent as a Savior, a judge, a champion, and a defender to deliver his people who seek righteousness beyond all those who would oppress those who would seek to turn from what is deviant, evil, who will seek to turn toward his perfect will. Scripture said, because of that, people shall finally know Yah as he is, that they vow to perform it. And it's obvious, my brothers and sisters, Scripture is talking about this as a portent of global peace. Because he talks about Egypt, which is to the south of Israel, and Assyria, which is to the north, symbolic of the whole world, to call Israel a blessing in the midst of all land, and Egypt shall serve with the Assyrians. All of them, my brothers and sisters, being called the people of Yah. That's world peace. But my brothers and sisters, that means an absolute standard has to be declared. A revolution, my brothers and sisters, comes because of a revelation from the Most High. Scripture talks about it in Isaiah 19, the earlier part of that same chapter we just got through looking at in Isaiah. And it actually talks about the Messiah coming with a strong testimony that shall awaken a world unto what will bring forth a great revolution, because men in the midst of all nations shall see that all their rulers, political, social, and religious, have been obstacles against their discerning the greater truth of Yah. But the scripture talks about he comes to cast aside the veil that's over all the nations. How about all of all the denominations? Cast aside the cover that's over all the peoples. Hey, regardless of what has been their social, cultural, political, or religious bent, showing them all that they've all been blinded after the precepts of men from discerning the righteousness of Yah. So, taking that into consideration, I'd like to look at a little bit of scripture with you, my brothers and sisters. I'm not going to make this an extremely long show tonight, because I want some of these things to soak in. And I also realize if I were to go into them to the depth that's actually needed, there's some people here who may not listen to every show, catch on to the strength of it. But I'd love to at least lay a foundation upon which, let's just say, men might have an opportunity to grow and realize how much more of a need there is to grow. And in so doing, be compelled to seek all the more. I'd like to read to you a scripture from the book of Isaiah again. And I'd like to look this time at Isaiah 45. That's one place to start. Isaiah 45. Go to it. Who is this one of whom he speaks? It says, thus says the Most High to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have, Aramaic says, holden. Some scriptures say, right hand I've upheld. Some texts say, King James Version says, holden. Aramaic oftentimes translated as upheld. Some texts says, I have grasped. Connotation, my brother says, is taken hold of, even covenanted, and strengthened. Think about it. To subdue nations before him. In other words, understand, subdue whatever it is that acts as an obstacle against his people discerning his one righteousness. See, I will loose the loins of kings. In other words, loose them from their authority. Open before him the two-leaved gates. In other words, whatever greater righteousness of Yah they have sought to hide shall be revealed. And the gates shall not be shut. In other words, I could tell you something that happened to myself many years ago. I was asleep, laying down on the couch. Fell asleep on the couch. Again. Sometimes I go to sleep in meditation mode. And in the midst of the night, middle of the night, I heard something of a, guess what, I'm just going to tell you. It sounded like a very demonic voice over my head. And I heard a demon speak. I don't like him. He's growing too fast. I want to shut down his mind. And in response, I heard an angel speak. Wasn't angry, wasn't upset, wasn't perturbed. As if the demon had said nothing. Just responded to him with these words and said, no, you can't do that. Before this one, the doors are open. To be honest with you, I understand the care of the Most High. In the midst of it all, I just laid there. I was awake because I was waking out of my sleep with the voice. I just laid there, kept my eyes closed, went on right back to sleep in a sense of comfort. Just the way it went. I kind of a little grin inside my soul. Well, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that Most High told me I must tell you things. Meaning to me that he also has to reveal to me things. A lot of secrets. At any rate, I would like to look at these scriptures. It says, whose right hand have upheld to do nations before him. How about to set his people free from the varying unrighteousness of the nations? Messiah said, your righteousness must exceed that of your rulers. I also shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah. Certainly the Most High must show his people, and they must seek a righteousness beyond the contention of the rulers who would flatter them. Else the people are found who follow them, just as unrighteousness in so many ways as their rulers. And oftentimes, I tell you, sometimes the rulers recognize how treacherous they have been. Sometimes the people don't, and there's a zeal and a mass hysteria among those who don't understand they're out of line, that they can oftentimes be quite zealous for total insanity. And I mean with no quarter, just walking after hysteria. That's the reason why Messiah said that oftentimes the wicked make men proselytes and they become twice sons of hell in themselves. Make men disciples because they don't reason. They walk after all manner of unrighteousness, uphold all manner of unrighteousness with nothing as a governor to tell them that something's wrong. Well, my brothers and sisters, I want you to think about it. He said, I'll go before thee and make the crooked places straight, and break in pieces the gates of brass, cut asunder the bars of iron. In other words, every obstacle shall be broken down. I give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Most High, which called thee by thy name. Most High said he would only have give his glory to that which is called by his own name. He said he calls Messiah by name to glorify and reveal his honor. He said he would not give his glory or his honor to another. Scripture says, in fact, in Isaiah 50:10-11, he is called by the name of the Most High to give glory unto his name. That the men may know, even that he may know, and that a world may know who is the Holy One of Israel. Except for Jacob, my servant's sake. I've called you my servant for the sake of my servant, Jacob Israel. And Israel, mine elect, I've even called thee by thy name. I've surnamed though thou, how about the world has not known, meaning not known him, not known Yah, meaning that this is someone the Most High must wake up. Remember I told you the scriptures talk about the Most High looked upon men and saw none righteous, no, not one, so we have to raise up a righteous one. My brothers and sisters, I will only tell you this one spoken of here is that righteous one. Messiah said that he is the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. The ancient faith is called the faith in him who was called the King of the East. Messiah said, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, the one called the King of the East, who bore the title. They put down Cyrus here, but let me tell you something. His kingdom was called Kurdistan for a reason. It was called the Kurdi. So also the title Kurdi means sunrise. Let me tell you something, they're laying a trick on your mind when they call him. I think about it. You look around and a lot of times you see these bumper stickers on the back of people's cars. And they talk about he is risen. Now they call him the risen Lord. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. That has been a trick to talk about the idea, but for many to talk about a Sunday morning rising of Messiah. The one called the risen Lord, my brothers and sisters, I want you to think about it. The word rising, well, they talk about the idea about Messiah is called sunrise, the rising sun. It's called the sun of righteousness that arises. The word Lord relates the same thing as king. There was a rises in the east, my brothers and sisters. It's called the morning star. All the scriptures talk about the one likened to the rising sun who comes suddenly to cast out all the darkness, to reveal the light the world would obscure. My brothers and sisters, anciently Messiah was called The risen Lord, but it was in the context, my brothers and sisters, of the king that suddenly arises above all kings. He's been playing games on your head. Messiah said he is the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, and many have hardly understood. He was talking about the one that's called Shiloh, who, in the revelation of his righteousness, all nations were turned toward him. Seek him, that there might be a glorious and honorable peace on earth. Well, your leaders, by and large, haven't spoken of it in that way, because it means that he speaks a righteousness that exceeds them all, even exposes them wherever it is. They start to keep people ensnared after a multitude of differences, which have only been in their separations to a multitude of damnations. And like I said, my brother says, you don't expect to see a champion for righteousness among those who are hired to flatter the people unto their own self-righteousness. Because the righteousness of Yahweh, brother and sisters, is not destabilized, nor is it changed according to the designs of men. So, or what have you to listen to this scripture? Most High has called this one for an express purpose, saying, I am the Most High. And in fact, my brother says, he is the fullness of all righteousness. And there's none else, no other completion, no one whole, pure, and perfect. No one else, my brother and sister, whose standard is to be appeased but his. And scripture says, this one he has girded to strengthen. He said he was called him for the express purpose to strengthen his people, saying, listen to me, I'll keep silence before me, O you isles, all you nations, let my people renew their strength. As long as they're misguided after a multitude of diverse standards, how shall they be strong in the knowledge of him? He desired the people that they truly might know him. In fact, if you read Isaiah 41, it says the chief concern of Zion, some texts say the chief concern is that Most High is not pleased because his people have not known him. The chief concern is that they hear again the gospel, because he is not part of his word, but all of it. And the gospel, my brothers and sisters, is not a partial or perverse word in any way. He said, go forth and teach the nations the gospel. It's the whole, complete word, baptizing, purging them unto a pure, perfect word, teaching, being taught all that he declares, that the people might be one. Again, purity and completion offers one choice. You're going to sit back and tell me that 45,000 denominations have all taught a pure and perfect word? My brother and sister, Most High told me that if you can believe such a thing, you can never be a disciple of his. You never be compelled to be fully a disciple of his. Abraham was told to seek the perfect will of Yah and expect it as a blessing, a reconciliation in the earth. Has it been so long, my brothers and sisters, people haven't understood what that means. Messiah did not give his life that men receive the Spirit that teaches all things, no lie in it, for people all to seek a partial standard to appease themselves. That will never be to the comfort or the appeasing of divine will, that his people be at rest, at peace, harmonious, harmoniously cooperative unto one goal and one cause and one word. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is the whole word. The Most High one time asked me, if a man stand against even the least of divine will, shall he live? And I already knew the answer. There was a tone in his voice. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. I want you to think about it. What do you think the wages of sin is? What do you think sin is? It's turning away from his law, his conscience. Most High intends peace, my brothers and sisters, and he's promised it. Meaning whatever would stand against that peace shall not survive. So, I want you to understand this, my brothers and sisters. Whose righteousness did he say he would uphold? He said he looked and he saw none who would uphold. He saw the world wherein those who would turn toward righteousness, those who would depart from transgression. And Romans 11:25-27, by the way, repeats the scripture to tell you it's a Latter-day prophecy. I said Romans 11:25-27 in particular. Relates, my brothers and sisters, Most High said he saw no intercessor, none to uphold, none to uphold, none to intercede when he saw so much unrighteousness. No one to uphold true righteousness. No one to champion true righteousness. I hope you understand what it means. None whose righteousness he would uphold. I hope you hear me. none whose righteousness he would uphold, that he might declare peace in the earth. Think about it. If the Most High upheld someone's fallen stance in unrighteousness, the champion in them, would it bring forth peace in the world, or would it leave a world still yet under vanity? So the scriptures talk about raising up someone who for righteousness' sake, actually, my brothers and sisters, scriptures say he will for righteousness' sake judge and make war. He will smite all the nations for wherever it is they've upheld unrighteousness. He'll rule the nation with a rod of iron. That means strict discipline. Scripture says the isle shall wait for his law. The scripture says he shall bring forth righteousness as of old in former years. It says he is the Lord whom you should seek. If you don't know the fullness of what he is when he says he is the great I am that I am, you should seek him. It's not going to happen instantly. It's going to be to a people that prove that they are diligent to understand, to seek and know him. He said, I also wait for his law. I didn't say presume or seek to teach themselves. He said, he will write and describe his laws upon the minds and hearts, that you be his people. And my brothers and sisters, those who are his people will be decided by those who are willing to humble themselves in accord to the spirit that the Most High has granted him, that the people of Yah be of one accord, even that they be one. I'd like to take you back to Isaiah 44th chapter and 20th verse, and understand the point. I said Isaiah 44th chapter, 20th verse. King James Version puts it this way, talking about the people. They feed on ashes. A deceived heart has turned them aside. And they cannot deliver their souls, nor say that there's a lie, nor discern is there a lie in their right hand. Aramaic translation, Holy Bible from the ancient Eastern text. You can find more about that at lamsabible.com. Look for the same verse, Isaiah 44:20. Reason this wise. Their imagination, how about their vision? Their sense of conscience has grown dull. Wear it. The scripture said he would send someone to renew the strength of his people, the discretion of his people, that they become one people. After one mind, one discretion, one heart, one understanding, one accord, one sense of cooperation unto the same goal. So their imagination, their sense of conscience is dull. That's why the people are divided and devoured gullibly after so many misallegiances in the earth. But the Most High didn't say that this was his righteousness, nor that it was acceptable unto his kingdom. See, their imagination is dull. They should have gone astray. How about misled? Gospel is here. The full, perfect word is here. Men fall after a multitude of partialities and perversions, deviations. My brothers and sisters, to be misled, even lost. The way, my brothers and sisters, is one, and it is narrow, and few that find it. And it is a pure and perfect path, because Yah is exactly that. They cannot deliver themselves nor say, in our right hand, we have wrought falsehood. So the Most High is talking about telling his people to remember what they've forgotten. If he says they cannot discern where in their right hands they have wrought and upheld, grasped, clasped, allied themselves unto falsehood, and the Most High says that there's one that he calls forth whose right hand he upholds, it means that one is the one whose righteousness he shall uphold, that it shall expose all the unrighteousness of all the rulers, that those who are wise, knowing to exceed the unrighteousness of the rulers, to seek the true King of Kings, might at last, my brothers and sisters, in that diligence and love of the truth, see beyond every pretense, and everyone who has rather than been a champion toward men's salvation has actioned, my brothers and sisters, in so many ways for their own selfish zeal been a devourer. I can only tell you that a lot of pastors have told me point blank, for them it's not about what the Bible has to say. He said, one pastor in particular told me just like this, he said about him learning a profession, for him to preside over a congregation. In other words, if that's what the people want, that's what he will sell. I've had a lot of pastors tell me, yeah, you're talking about the truth. Hey, and they told me it's not about the truth. He said, you got no money, you ain't got nothing. That's what a pastor told me, brothers and sisters. I've had pastors tell me point blank when I challenged them with words that they knew they could not ignore, they're in the scriptures. And they told point blank told me that their office was a sham. The scripture is correct when he said Most High looked and saw there was no intercessor. An intercessor is a priest. Most High said, I don't see any priests not standing up for the fullness of his righteousness. He said, what do you think he means when he says he looked and he saw none preaching the gospel? That means you need to expect someone, my brothers and sisters, who's going to declare righteous beyond all that you thought you knew. That's how you prepare for the Son of Man when he says, be watchful, that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Stand before the Son of Man who the rulers shall not be able to stand before, if you read Revelation 6, if you read Malachi 3. That means to watch for him, you must seek the Most High directly. They who wait for the Most High, seek the Most High, are the ones who shall be renewed under strength beyond all the rulers who are blind to minds. So let's look at Isaiah 44:20 and realize this goes right into Isaiah 45, the scriptures we just got through looking at. Said their imagination, their vision is dull. They have gone astray and cannot deliver themselves, nor say that their right hand has wrought falsehood. How about grasp falsehood? Think about it. What does the scripture say? Who shall ascend to the hills of the Most High? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Most High did not say he would oppose unrighteousness, my brothers and sisters, but what is righteousness? Oh, if I could tell you all that I know about some of those things. Would you really be prepared to believe me? Ah, boy. How many things I long to tell you, Messiah said. You can't grasp him. You might not be ready to receive him just yet. So the confidence comes, because sometimes you need the Spirit to ratify what is the word of the Spirit, to discern the fullness of what the Spirit would imply. You need something from the Most High to sanction and confirm a word that many might not be inclined to believe. Might sound quite fantastic. The truth is just simply what it is, though. Well, he says, therefore he desires, since his people have come, let's just say their vision is dull concerning, how about the restoration of all things, that they might be delivered beyond all those who would hide the truth. Say, remember these things, O Jacob. Even remember the Most High plans to bring about a restoration of all things. O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. In other words, he reveals to his people his plan, his purpose, his command, that they serve him and not be subject to another. Because somebody else's idea of command and purpose leads men astray. He says, I have formed you. In other words, he has called forth the people for his glory, for his name, for his honor in the earth. He has called his people to be his servant. And, O Israel, from henceforth, he says in the Aramaic, he says, forget me not. Remember what I told you about Isaiah 59? It says, this is his covenant. His words, when he put them again in the mouth of his people, beyond all the constraints of the nations who have sought to blind them, he says, his words shall not depart from your mouth, nor the mouth of your descendants, henceforth, even forever. Isaiah 45 and 6 says, from the rising sun to the west. Isaiah 59 says, from the west to the rising of the sun. I've told you before on this show about how the prophecies say Messiah will come once to deliver his people from a Babylon east and the second time from a Babylon west. And my brothers and sisters in between declare a word. Ultimately, my brothers and sisters, that the gospel might go forth. Well, the scripture said in that time, which was last time, 20 centuries ago, that the scripture said in advance that the nations would resist, that he would have to come a third time to finish the job, giving the nations an opportunity to at least get the book out there, something in the book out there, begin to understand. But they would need a lot of help in the last days to understand it. Prophecies, actually, my brothers and sisters, really understand Isaiah talk about Messiah coming three times. No, that's not what they told you, but the truth is what it is. The testimony is there. Look at that article, Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. Understand what I'm talking about. Of all the prophecies written at Isaiah 45 concerning this one called the anointing have not, or the anointed one have not come to pass, and you have to still expect them to come to pass. Messiah said he is the one who will bring those prophecies in Isaiah 45 to bear. Yeah. Why didn't they tell you who he said he is? Why did they tell you the faith is called Kurdish Shanya? Kurdish son, Tishrai, Shah King, King of the East. He said, about the coming of the King of the East in Revelation 16, 12 to 21. He says, "Behold, I come." Who did he say he is? He talks about one called the angel rising in the sun. What if the angel is king, rising in the sun is east? He calls him the Son of Righteousness that arises in Malachi 4, 2. The other scripture I'm talking about is Revelation 7, 2. Why don't they tell you these other titles of Messiah so you know what to look for? Because it says he's only going to confirm as righteous and acceptable those who prove that they have a desire for all his righteousness and nothing less, anything else than oath unto another. Yah says he is all that he is by very name. Well, he says, "Remember these things, O Jacob of Israel, you are my servant." Okay, he said, "I blotted out your iniquities." "I will blot out your iniquities like a thick mist." Israel's iniquity, my brothers and sisters, is Israel having been subject to the corruptions of the Gentiles, the various nations. Isaiah 58 speaks about it. Isaiah 57 goes into 58, talking about the iniquity of Israel is going after the ways of other kings, principalities and powers. Colossians, the apostle Shaul said, "Beware lest any man beguile after the principalities and powers of this world and not after the Kurdi, who would expose them all to show the exceeding righteousness." If you allow the dictates of the scriptures to be taught after the constraints of those who walk after the flesh, do you expect to understand anything beyond a carnal perception of things? Do you really expect after their wisdom to discern the line upon line, precept upon precept that is contained in the scriptures? The Most High told me, if you know what's said and don't know why it says, miss the point. Well, carnal mind not only will turn men aside from the right understanding of the word, will compel men to believe they know all they need to know, while still yet in so many ways blind, the scripture being twisted completely out of context. Well, say, "I blot out your iniquities as a thick mist." In other words, he's going to teach his people how to convert toward himself beyond all the misrule of man. "The sins of the cloud, return unto me, for I have saved you. So sing, O heavens, for the Most High has done it. Shout, O you foundation of the earth, break forth into singing, O mountains," talking about all the kings of the earth, "and forests and every tree therein. Everything will bring forth glory to the Most High. For the Most High has saved his people," in other words, redeemed them unto his will, "the righteous that he will uphold, that they no longer are subject to another. He will glorify himself in Israel. He will honor himself in his people. Thus says the Most High, who will save you, who will deliver you from all false righteousness, all partialities of men, who formed you from the womb to be his servant. So I am the Most High, who made all things and stretched out the heavens alone and spread out the earth by myself, all things according to his purpose, who will prove foolish." How about the signs of the diviners? How about the false testimony of those who ideals are not from him? "Who despises their divination, their presumptuousness, who turns or proves those who are called wise men, those who are called wise before men, proves them to be backward and foolish people, and proves their knowledge to have been deceitful." My brothers and sisters, what he has promised he shall bring to bear, every other sense of eventuality is a lie. "But he will confirm the word of his servant, perform the counsel of his message to those who he indeed has taught." And my brothers and sisters, you need to understand the difference between the true and the false prophet, because the true prophet will seek to show you all those things the Most High has promised, that you be true to him, true to Yah alone. The scripture says Messiah will come to teach again, to restore to mind all those things spoken by all the holy prophets since the world began. Whoever will not hearken to that testimony, cut off from among his people. In fact, my brothers and sisters, will be proven not to have been those led by him at all. Question, my brothers and sisters, who is humble enough when they discern again what is righteousness, or when righteousness again is revealed, like it says in Isaiah 56? Who will be willing to repent, to humble themselves, to hearken to the truth, uphold that truth? And the scripture says that these ones who will find righteousness will be found righteous and acceptable and confirmed. Hey, Isaiah 26, 12, 13 says they will be willing to admit. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? They will be willing to admit. Other lords, other kings, false rulers have had dominion over them. But they will say, "Now, by Yah, even by him whom the Most High has sent, his righteous one, who cast aside the veils of confusion that has been over all the nations, declare righteousness, wipe away all tears from off all eyes. Read all of Isaiah 25, going in 26. It said, by him, even to the glory of his name, where they made mention, a bow unto his name. And my brothers and sisters, it means unto that one righteousness alone. So Most High says can perform the counsel of his servants, even his messengers, his prophets. And it was said to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, the city of Judah, you shall be built. I'll raise up the ruins thereof. This is the restoration of his land and his people. Who said to the deep, be dry, who dried up the rivers, who bring his people back from the confusion of all the nations. Who said to this one he calls the Kurdi, the righteous one, the son of righteousness that arises. Isaiah 40:27-41:4. The same one, my brothers and sisters, that's spoken of here. The one the scriptures call, actually, Revelation talks about one who overthrows Babylon. Isaiah 46 talks about one who overthrows all confusion. There are some texts, my brothers and sisters, that will tell you outright that this is one called the Kurdi here. Some study Bibles will tell you that directly. That scholars know this. They didn't tell you. But this is the one, my brothers and sisters, that is also Yeshua. How many of them have helped you to understand that? You said, the deep, he dry, who dried up the rivers. Remember you say he dried up the rivers for the king of the east? Began to show the folly of the nation, that men might prepare for a greater king. Revelation 16:12-21. Still talking about the same one. One called the king of the east. They put down Cyrus, the Kurdes. Kur means sun, Tis means rise. As the scripture calls him the branch at Zechariah 3:8-6:12. But the word branch is also the word samach. It also means sunrise. Please understand. It's definitely talking about the Mashiach. Said of the Kurdi, he is my shepherd, one who is to shepherd his people, that they all become one people, that they perform all that is his pleasure, even that he perform all that is divine pleasure as a righteous example to his people, that they come of one accord. Even said, Jerusalem shall be built. Jerusalem, city of peace, you shall be built. The temple, your foundation. How about a strong foundation that there might be an everlasting kingdom shall be laid? My brothers and sisters. What does it say in Isaiah 59? The Most High looked and he saw none to uphold. No intercessor, none to stand up for those who are turned toward true righteousness. It means the Most High is going to establish in the earth, he must reveal a leader, whereby his people see beyond all those who have dissuaded them. Isaiah in the 63rd chapter, I want you to read those first verses. Time is about up. The first verses in Isaiah 63rd chapter read just like the kind of scripture we talked about.
90 seconds.
It talks about Messiah for the zeal of the one righteous of the Most High, exposing all those who would act as obstacles. You talk about Edom and Bozrah. Some of you might know the prophecies and numbers. 24, talking about Moab being that nation that when Israel was seeking return to become the people they must be, sought to act as an obstacle or said cast false righteousness before the people to snare them.
60 seconds.
Keep them from attaining what is sufficient to be found worthy of the promised land. Scripture says, in his zeal that his people attain to the promise, he would offend those who seek true righteousness, who would prefer, if you will, heaven rather than hell. Who prefer righteousness rather than unrighteousness. He would offend them, my brothers and sisters, that they might attain and see beyond all those who would act as an obstacle against their awakening. But my brothers and sisters, who is it that's going to wake up and discern how long it has been that their rulers have taught them to be enemies and adversaries rather than allies? Check out the website, my brothers and sisters. I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near, and to his might, to his honor, and to his praise always. Hallelujah! And I thank you all. Isaiah 19. I'm just going to say this quickly. And those are after time. But Isaiah 19 speaks about one who's a word like a swift cloud, a testimony from on high. It's going to expose all the unrighteousness of the rulers of the nations, bring about a great revolution. Aramaic calls him the king of the Medes. Jeremiah, you need to read in the 48th chapter and 51st. Talking about the one that's called the destroyer of Moab, calls him the king of the Medes, the destroyer of this confusion that has ensnared the people against one righteousness. He will expose all that unrighteousness rule among the nations, among the denominations once and for all, that the people see the way of one. Who, my brothers and sisters, prepare to understand who is that Savior, that Judge, that Lawgiver, that Great One, that Champion, that Defender, for the sake of those who would know and prefer to do what Yah is pleased with. It says, Yah so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son to whoever believed in him. His righteousness might not perish, because the Most High will make a way for peace. Blessed are those, my brothers and sisters, who are wise not to be obstacles. Again, until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Edomyah, Covenant Remembrance Ministries, to his might, to his honor, and to his praise always. Realize that salvation is according to one accord. Our dear men say that they are saved, made whole, beyond every affliction, every sin, every partiality. After the partialities of this world, think again. To speak again, my brothers and sisters, has been Edomyah, Covenant Remembrance Ministries, to his might, to his honor, to his praise always.